the Mothman prophecies came up when J.W. and Carolyn were talking yesterday. I told Carolyn, hey, the author, John Keogh, we met at a party, and we didn't meet him. He was in the same room as us back in about 2001, and I knew a little bit about him, but I didn't know that was him. So we came that close to him. Is there something interesting that John Keogh discovered? What were the Mothman prophecies about? What was actually happening in that event?
In the days of all this alien abduction, yeah, rectal probing, funky things that are coming from the nethers of beyondness and contact and stuff like that. Well, the Mothman prophecies as a compilation, and you talk to him basically through his empirical research, these people were convinced that it was, and it is. Well, when you start getting a human creator convinced that something is, about 99 times out of 100, it is. All right? Well, all he did was go through and talk to these people that noticed these anomalies, things that couldn't be explained, and started recording them in such a way that it actually created this figure. Ray Land loves to play with the grays. Same song, different verse. But the Mothman was an angelic being that wasn't angelic, but it was. It was different. It was very amazing of all these different people in this little town were having the same type experiences, and they weren't even sleeping or talking to each other, and yet the storyline stayed the same. So was it the 100th monkey that figured it all out at the same time, or did the different individual human creators have these anomalous experiences that they could see the exact same pictorials that everyone else did to validate this as being a realm of their own creation that indeed is? It was indigenous to this one area, and everybody saw the same thing. When they brought in the sketch artists, everyone's picture looked the same, and they weren't having concepts to describe what he looked like in the face, and that he didn't have ears, and that the wings were black, and all this kind of stuff.
So what caused everybody to have that?
What do you mean, what caused it? It is, and they just noticed it.
So people were seeing this Mothman?
Yes, because they allowed that in their experience. There are many things in your experience that are also there, Bob, but you can't see them. Like you have this non-physical that tells you all these things that you're not having, but they are. Well, but then if you embrace them to BR, then those BRs become 549, and then you can come to a place where that's old hat and you know that. But until you allow that to come into your knower, then it's just tricks, non-physicals trying to push you over the cliff so you can become an ascended man.
John Keogh is there floating, or is he in the guff?
No.
Is he aware of us talking about him right now?
Yes.
Does he remember that party where we were in the same room with him, downtown New York City?
Didn't notice you.
And I didn't notice him until later. Why didn't we notice each other?
The vibrational proximity was too far apart. For him, you would have been considered a threat.
If he had heard what I was saying to people.
Well, and what you represented then and what you represent now are two completely different worlds.
Right.
Yours is more ascended into his world rather than vice versa. You would have scared the poor man, because that's the whole problem with the Mothman prophecies, is that was really based on a true story. It was not fiction. Now, they had to do it as science fiction just because, my God, they didn't have him put in the same asylum or jail for making up this thing, the War of the Worlds type thing. So they did it that way, but those were actual things that he investigated. He didn't believe it no more than the man in the moon. He kept noticing that they didn't know each other, these different victims, and they were all seeing and saying and describing the very same thing.
You're saying me now would be more interested in what he was exploring.
You would be sitting next to each other, and he would be pining away trying to get you to give him the inside goodie on this non-physical entity that you seem to keep attracting. It would be his very Mothman
I knew we had a mutual friend named Dave Wally. Does he remember Dave Wally? Dave Wally just transitioned a couple of years ago. Maybe Dave Wally is there with him.
No, he has transitioned.
Dave Wally has?
Yes.
John Keel hasn't?
Correct.
You mean he's still watching his body?
Yes. There's an issue with a family that can't get concluded. He hasn't embraced the idea of exiting to the Gulf.
When one transitions, they hover over the body and then wait and then make a decision about finally leaving and not going back to the body.
Correct.
He is not deciding whether to go back to the body. He's gone through the phase of leaving the body. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Phase one. Has he arrived at the point where he judges himself?
No.
The phase before that.
Very good.
Whereas Dave Wally, has he gone to the Guff?
He has.
That means he successfully judged himself as worthy of going in the Guff.
Well, no, you go to the Guff either way, but that process of contrastlessness, some choose, because once you leave your body, you're done with the contrast. So there's never like this sea of decision that you've got to wait and just see what the jury says about your life and times on planet Earth. You notice how we got that, not about time, times on planet Earth. But what happens is once you leave the physicalness, you understand immediately that time is a false premise. So now you can hang around for 1,000 years or 2 seconds or ever or never or forever, to the point that it becomes an untimely event.
But there is, in the 3-part series you did on transitioning, the discussion of you making the decision, judging yourself.
Yes, and that's correct. That's correct. But you have to realize that session was done with the confines of time, so that the individual human creator wouldn't push against this experience that they go, you mean I'm going to be trapped in the in-between place for 1,000 years? I'm not sure. I better go now before I have a chance to mess it up, you see. Or I don't want to go if I'm going to be hanging around anyway. I better stay.
These are thoughts that occur to the human creator when they're still in the physical?
Yes.
But if they heard those sessions by
Yes, that's why we gave you the simple process. We were trying to trick you into figuring it out, and you did. But that's all you could swallow right at that second. And that's okay.
This judging thing you do to yourself, that is not necessary to go into the Guff, even though that seems to be said in session 3.
Well, it does occur before you go to the Guff, but once you've really exited time, there's no time, meaning it doesn't matter when that is. It just occurs before you make your final deposition into what we call the Guff.
And John Keel hasn't done that yet.
Completely, that's correct.
Could Aya tell us what was the alibi for David Wally transitioning? Because, I mean, it was suicide, but what did people think it was? What alibi was left and determined as the cause of his transition?
They blamed it on a combination of condition and medication.
Bad effects of drugs?
No, they just basically said he had a medical condition, and then the medical condition combined with prescribed medications sent him into this shocking renal failure that shut his kidneys down, and he expired.
The drug he took, how long had he taken it?
2 years, 3 months, 16 days without any time.
What's that mean, without any time?
Well, we were giving you a specific span in dog years that were in your years, but we don't do that, but you asked, so we gave it to you because you were asking what people thought of that process, so we could include your experience of necessary time.
So the drug had a cumulative effect over that 2.5 years, whatever, and then it suddenly surfaced. That's what they thought, but he was preparing himself to leave.
Absolutely. Very good.
And why did he want to leave?
It was the fastest path to his joy because nothing was working anymore. He didn't have tactility in his body. He was starting to notice that folks weren't responding the way they normally did.
Was that from the health problem he had?
Well,
He was getting isolated.
Was isolating himself and then angry because he was isolated.
Did he talk to Frank Zappa when he transitioned? He was Frank Zappa's first biographer.
Yes.
There's no contrast there like they had in here.
Right.
But what would they talk about or to communicate?
They would communicate all that they know, which is everything. You gotta understand, once you get rid of your damn labyrinth of your mind,
yeah,
you have no boundaries of conversation. You have no topical release of making a good point. So all that becomes moot.
So what does one communicate about?
Everything. Simultaneously at the same amount of span.
Everything relative to their particular life that they had?
And everyone else's life, not just their life.
Then Dave Wally does that with about 100 different people that he knew that were already over there.
A million people at the same time, yeah.
And talks to everybody.
Yes, because you don't have to speak to communicate there.
So there is communication going on.
Always.
But the communication he had with Zappa has nothing to do with what they did here.
That's correct.
And so you communicate with everybody.
Here always comes from a place of contrast.
Physical world.
In this realm, everything has to be here for a reason. There, it doesn't. So therefore, it doesn't come up in conversation.
So there's nothing special in communicating with Zappa. He's just one of many people they've communicated with. Once you transition.
Very wonderful.
So when I transition, if I bother to, I mean,
you do, yeah.
I'll be communicating with everybody. Now, if I stay here, I should have access to everybody like that anyways.
Good, yes.
And that would be like Ion coming through JW, where, you know, when I talk to Rockefeller, well, JW will offer it to you.
Perfect. That's how it works. Okay. He'll give you access.
The communication Mark got from Rockefeller was more human communication, not the communication Mark would have with Rockefeller when he transitions, if he does.
Very good.
It's actually the humans talking to themselves. So John Rockefeller talked to Mark in the way Mark wanted to hear. Because the real John Rockefeller over there isn't even interested in what Mark was interested in.
Very good.
So fed to Mark something that would be useful to Mark. You know,
yeah.
Not trying to necessarily agree with him or not, he said
right.
Something useful and maybe even made it so real that it sparked Mark's sense of the non-physical.